he's right here, so. Oh, he topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Gate iron.
Oh, he shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, as always. It's a season 3, episode 23, Brian Harmon.
Just like that. As simple as that.
He's the man of the hour, isn't he?
He's the man of the week.
Man of the week.
See, a couple of lads playing the practice rounds with them saying he was like 5 under through 6 or 6 under through 5 or something, was it? So like it's... He was at it all week, like even in the practice rounds Monday, Tuesday.
He's been at it in Hoylake as well, just drinking out the claret jug and just carrying it around West Kirby and that, legend.
Man. That's what you want to see, though, innit?
No, of course, yeah.
Not just saying this, obviously we were there on Wednesday at the practice day, and I'm standing on 14 and I seen him hit a T-shot down 14, and just off that T-shot alone, I was like, he's going to win at me.
How much money did you put on him?
Oh, not a penny. Because I didn't actually believe he was going to win it.
No. No one did, even when he had that good second round. It was like...
Even going into Sunday with a 5-shot lead.
I know.
Because of the weather and the rain, and John Ram chasing him, Hovland and Ram, the penultimate grouping before them. You know, they make a few birdies early on. He bogeyed the first... Was it the first did he bogey? Or the third?
Yeah, he had two bogeys early, both days, didn't he?
Yeah, but 2 over 5, wasn't he? Or 6, and then got it back.
And then just got it back, yeah.
But did you hear what he said about his motivation?
Yeah.
One of the crowds.
That fella saying,
You haven't got the stones.
You haven't got the stones, yeah.
He said, right, I'll show you. Just reset him.
That fella's ruined it for everyone there, really, hasn't he? But
it was a great experience. Obviously, let's talk about us being there. Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, I just done
Wednesday, Friday.
Yeah, but for me, being 5'8", it was difficult to follow the leading groups because it was so deep. I just couldn't see because it's a flat course, isn't it? There's not many high points you can get on unless you're in a grandstand. So the viewing spectacle for me with the leading groups, I wanted to go and see Tommy when I watched them for a bit. I had to shoot a couple of holes ahead, but I suppose that's what it's like. I didn't even try Rory. He was like 5 or 6 deep. But overall, viewing experience was pretty good if you weren't following the other groups because of the way the course was laid out. So I think on Wednesday, we didn't really go the far side, did we? But
no.
Friday and Saturday, I went out to the far side. And the same again, you know, you could pretty much anywhere you was as long as you weren't following the big groups and you were 4 deep in a queue, the viewing was good.
I thought that Wednesday, practice day, was busier than when I went to watch Tiger at St Andrews last year on a Friday.
Was it?
I think so, yeah.
It was Chocker Wednesday.
Even just following, like when John Daly, Koepka and Harmon came through.
Yeah.
Like it was honestly deeper, busier, more like vibe than like following.
But it's obviously cheaper for a ticket, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know whether there's a concept of if you go, then you're going to get more access to them because they're a bit more relaxed and they're in tournament. So it might be better for getting autographs, photos and stuff because they're not in tournament mode.
Yeah.
And that's probably why people go. That's the first time I've done a practice day.
Same, to be honest.
But I'll be doing it again. I thought it was...
It's good because there's tea times and that, isn't it? Like, you know what? You're not just going guessing.
No, and you know who you're following as well, yeah.
In fact, you know what? I have been to a practice day. I went to a practice day. I think it was either Carnoustie or... Turnberry, one of them, only went to see Tiger, and something happened and he cancelled his tea time, and as it got there his like helicopter was getting off and he went to like a Bruce Springsteen concert.
Did he?
Oh, I couldn't believe it. Only drove the 6 hours to say hello.
But no, yeah, I to be honest, I've seen a few people posting throughout the different social media platforms that have backed Brian Harmon. And it's just like the course just didn't seem to suit his game. He's not really playing the best at the moment. I just didn't see that coming, me.
No, not in that fashion. Just like didn't even blink down the stretch, did he? Just frozen rope every time, hole and putts. Like he was phenomenal, wasn't he?
Well, the point that you make about the putting there is an important one because I had a little look at a few statistics there. And obviously, as you'd expect, first strokes game putting for the week, Brian Harmon. And he was first off the tee as well. He was... Had that driver on an arrow, didn't he? Even taking it on the dangerous lines on the last day. And But if you look at people like Tommy Fleetwood and Scotty Scheffler, obviously Tommy, great to see him contending all week, weren't it? And there for the crowds and stuff, obviously shooting that five on the first round, just couldn't get it going. But he was 37th in strokes gained putting for the week. And I know he had that 6 on 17, which sort of knocked him down. But other than that, he probably would have been second or third, wouldn't he? And then I've seen a statistic of Scotty Scheffler. I know we've constantly spoken about his putting, but in the Masters, he was second tee to green, 50th in putting. At the PGA Championships, he was first tee to green, 37th in putting. In the US Open, he was third tee to green, 37th in putting. And at the Open this week, he was third tee to green, Scotty Scheffler, and 74th in putting. So, by all accounts, you know,
he needs a new putter.
Yeah, but it's just Tommy Fleetwood and Scotty Scheffler didn't play anywhere like below the level that Brian Harman did, but it was just a flat stick, wasn't it?
That's what it always comes down to, doesn't it? Like, look at Tom Kim. Like, he was, I don't think he was anywhere near on his tee to green. Well, he was probably top six or something, but he's third final, he's third on putting, and he was on crutches every day before he turned up.
Yeah, he teared
with his ankle.
Mental
is that?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's more impressive than what Harman's done.
Well, like, we was watching him, weren't we, in the practice round, and I think did he get three balls off the 15th tee, and every one of them was like miles left, and I was like, he looks like he's struggling there. Him,
I know.
That's what kept me away, because I was going to back him each way, and yeah. I thought, you know what, seeing that, I know you can't just judge it off a couple of shots.
Well, that's probably when he was. Well, do you know what? That wasn't even when he was injured, because he only done it on Wednesday night.
Well, maybe that's made it better for him then.
Like,
he was hitting it miles left in the practice.
I think I read the thing, or like they were saying on the Sky coverage, because I just sat on that couch all weekend and just watched it, that he was wanted to pull out, but his management team were like, just like, get ice and get sorted out and get out there and play sort of thing. Yeah. Like, it's...
Yeah, at his age, to finish top, was he finished second, third?
Second, I think.
No, it was obviously the whole experience going to the Open. It's always a good one, especially when it's on your doorstep, and you've got a local lad like Tommy and Finno, who were like pushing for it after day one. We got there on a Friday. I thought, right, I got there about what, 2:30, 3 o'clock, just as Tommy was teeing off. Went and followed him for the first 6 or 7 holes, and I reckon I saw like 3 shots.
So, yeah, because he's just swamped,
he was just
isn't he?
Swamped, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, the support's amazing for him, but I think you've either got to be really tall, or you've got to sort of chase ahead of it.
Yeah, even well, I'm like 6'2", and like I was struggling.
Yeah,
unless you're like at that front or second back, because what the other problem is, and you don't get this problem at the Masters, I must say, is everyone just gets the phones. So not only are you contending with everyone's head,
yeah,
you contend with everyone's phone as well, which blocks the little spaces in between. So
yeah,
but
well, on obviously I got there late on the Friday. So obviously Conor Winstanley, good friend of ours, he's on the bag for Alex Fitzpatrick now, isn't he? They qualified at West Lancs, and he teed off early on the Friday, so I missed him. So I said on the Saturday, what I'm going to do, because he'd made the cut, he held a putt for birdie on 18 to finish +2. And yeah, at the time needed that to make the cut. It was like the cut line. It went to +3, so he would have been comfortable if he'd have missed the putt anyway, but he weren't to know that. So he was off early. So I said, what I'll do is I'll get there early on Saturday, go and watch them, and then get the leaders for the second round. And honest to God, he went out and shot 6 under. Could have been 10, 11. Didn't miss a shot. Unbelievable golf to watch. You know, the kid has got some talent.
Yeah, he's got some game, and he like, it's sort of like he's came out of nowhere, and he's already like got them superstar qualities. Even like obviously what happened at West Lancs, hole in the bunker, shots off his knees, and then what, he comes second on the challenge. So
yeah,
he's had a couple of DP World Tour starts, and he turned up at the Open there. Like, it was,
we had a good record in the World Cup as well, just before he turned pro. Obviously went through the American college system, and you know, when they say like some players are ready to just come straight out of college and get straight into it, he made the decision to do a bit of DP World, didn't he, and challenge and go this route, which you don't tend to see these days. Normally, when they're at a caliber of Walker Cup, they get at least the majority of Corn Ferry starts and maybe the odd PGA Tour starts.
Like,
so
yeah, it's like
he's gone
almost like what Kepka done, but obviously,
yeah,
he come over to England and learned his craft, didn't he?
So, you know, straight away, obviously, somebody like Alex Fitzpatrick gets himself a DP World Tour start, you tend to see, you know, not really ready for this, and they'll miss a few cuts in a row before they get started. But he was making cuts straight away, so you just know, like, and of the way he grinded it out to make the cut at the Open and then to shoot that score. And on 15, it was, he'd hit his tee shot slightly right, and he got so unlucky, like, either being fucking fuming. There's literally a tuft of grass, which was like 2 yards by 2 yards, and all round this tuft of grass was just fucking sound. There lies everything, right?
Well, like no one had mowed it or something, or no one had trampled
it? No, just like where it sometimes grows and where people had walked and stuff, it was a bit flattened down, and this bit was like an untouched bit.
No,
this ball had landed right in it. And from the angle that I could see, I thought, fucking hell, this is a chip out. This, it's a par five, like, so he would have been all right. I thought, chip out. I was standing right next to the ball, and I could hear him and Con talking, and he goes, I reckon I can get a 7-iron on that. And Con's like, yeah, that tower there. And he's going, but what about this behind the ball? Like, and he's going, no, but me, the way I hit it, like, it's like he knew his swing that well, and as like his angle of attack and the line that it was going to hit the ball, that he knew, looking behind the ball, if my line is at that tower, my club's going to come on this path, so it won't hit that tuft of grass, which was literally, we're talking centimetres. And I was watching it, and it was amazing to listen to. And I was like, that's the centimetres that they talk in, because they hit it so pure. And I was thinking, I was standing next to Lewis, and me and Lewis were saying, 7-iron out of that lie. Because you could see the back of the ball, but like it did look like you get a wedge out of that. He's hit this 7-iron, mate, about 40 yards, 50 yards short of the green. And got up and down for birdie. And I was like, the fact that he knows, because obviously, you know, 15, it's a par five, but it's sort of dogleg slightly to a right a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So where he was on the right-hand side, you could cut the corner. So he was like, if I aim at this tower here, then that bit of tuft of grass is not going to impact my swing path. And a 7-iron can carry it long enough to get it back onto the fairway. So we were talking like inches and centimetres of perfection in order to execute that shot. It's like the education that he must have in his golf swing and his ability to be able to execute that. And you don't see that like on the telly. It's only because
I was standing
so close
there,
and I could hear it. And Con was like, yeah, perfect, go for it. And executed it. And he was like, we were just like, wow. And then he got up and down for the birdie. And it was like, if he chips outside, he's probably going in with like probably a 7-iron from there. Maybe doesn't get up and down. And it's like the diff. I know in the end he finished tied 17th, didn't challenge at all, but he gave himself that opportunity to potentially get a top 10 or a top 5 finish in the first major. And it was all day. He was like hitting this, his natural shot to draw, but he can cut them in as well. And I watched 10. The hole number 10 was probably the hardest hole in the course, 10 or 14, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But 10 was playing into a wind. It's the one that got changed from a par 5 last year. And it was a strong breeze into the face. And he's teed the ball down low. It's the one that I've got a video of on the
Instagram.
He's teed the ball down low with this driver. Honest to God, you should have seen a flight on it. It's just dead straight, miles down there. And then he's hit this iron shot, again, dead low. Landed just over the bunker perfectly and rolled out to about 8 foot and just knocked it in for a 3. And I was like, I've not seen anybody play that hole like that.
It's levels, isn't it?
It is levels, yeah. But it just, you know, he's new to the scene and the pro scene. He's obviously got a leg up slightly because of his brother, hasn't he, with the name and things and a lot of press.
It's pressure though, isn't it, as well?
It is, yeah. But you've got to back that up, haven't you? You've got to be able to go out. Of course. You've got to be able to go out and back that up. And I know Sky were having a bit of banter about, I think Nick Doherty said something like, Alex will probably be saying, I'll set my alarm a bit later because I'm off.
Taking on the Fitzpatrick bragging rights.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. But no, it's... obviously, I'd never seen him play in the flesh, to be honest. Seen him hit a few shots around West Lancs, but following him round for the full 18, the kid's got some talent, you know.
Does he write all his stuff down like Matt?
They were both at it with the pads, yeah.
Con
as well, yeah. Con had a pen and Alex had a pen. I don't know if he goes into as much detail as Matt, like, but they were active with the data.
Was he, yeah. Mm-hmm. On that 15, for a lot of players, like on the Saturday, they were like aiming down the right because the bunker was a little bit further, but then he was almost hitting it like between like the hospitality and the thing, because it cuts the line
the
off as
right
well.
Off, yeah, it's easier. I know Xander at one, didn't he?
Yeah,
Like it was the same on 18 as well. Eamon Miles left because the outer bounds was
to the right.
So everyone was going the other side of the metal fence.
Yeah, the railings. Yeah, Gary Woodland hit one and then hit it into the railings.
I know. Yeah. Well, on that point, because I spoke to Con after he'd finished, because Alex Fitzpatrick hit it down the left hand side there on his final round, and when he was out over the ball, it reminded me of the Fitzpatrick of the Gary Woodland's incident, and I was like, imagine he just hit this, and we're all standing behind this lashing down at this point. Watching the shot, and I was like, imagine he hits this shot now and it just pings that and comes right back at us. But like, he cleared it by a mile. Like, but I say,
because they're in half a long guy, aren't they, as well? Like,
they can't move that, you know, it's an immovable obstruction, that fence that week. So,
is it?
If you were next to it, you just had to take club length relief
For free,
yeah, you get free relief from it, yeah, because it's not on course, but then you couldn't. So, for example, if it weren't sort of in your way, like affecting your swing and you were quite close to it, I'd imagine you probably got a chip over it.
Or put under it.
Like, who was it who put it backwards? Finau,
yeah. Yeah. That's even like when Tommy made that hash of 17 as well, like that was just, imagine he was like in contention, like chasing Harmon down, like 4 or 5 under on the round end, does that.
I know. But that's what they were probably hoping for on 17. But
they were hoping, everyone wanted Harmon to do it.
That's, yeah. I think everyone was hoping for, like, because I know Phil Mickelson on day one was one over going onto that and went like triple or triple quad or something like that and just completely finished his round in those two holes because he went out of bounds. I know Ricky Fowler and Tyrrell Hatton both made like 8 to 9. So it was set up weird as if you don't hit the right shots.
Yeah.
The scoring was there and it wasn't over till it was over, but I think it was over, wasn't it, with Harmon?
He was just in control of his golf ball, like, wasn't he?
And that's what's the thing with that 17th as well. In order for that to fulfill its potential, it needed to be rock hard, didn't it?
Yeah, and then let it all slide off. Like, they were just skidding it and spinning it back, weren't they?
And at that level, it's total control. Oh, yeah. Middle of the green. Or with it, 120 yards, middle of the green, you've got not many of them are missing that, are they?
No, but I went over, right, because I was waiting for, like, Minwoo Lee, and that's to finish 14 and then go down 15 and they come back up 16 and play 17, don't they? And the 15th tee and the 17th green, like, next to each other. So I was standing there, and I walked over, and I was like, going to have a little look at this bunker and, like, the setup and just see the hole, basically. Standing there. And then took a video, like, to show what it was like, sort of thing. And Minwoo Lee came on the tee. And I looked down, and I didn't recognise anyone on the tee. And I was like, oh, whatever. Literally walked off and just did,
Ray! Oh, the hole in one.
And there was a hole in one. And I was like, oh, my word. Like, I was literally, like, in 2 yards away from the flag, like.
And you didn't watch it?
And I went and watched Minwoo Lee at his drive, yeah. But it was like the atmosphere was just unbelievable. Like, we were standing right there, everyone was just going mad. He was just getting the crowd pumped up, and that it was sick.
Well, that's on when we were watching Alex on that hole, he hit that pin on the second, on the third day. It was sort of left hand side, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But sort of top of the ridge. And he's hit it left of the pin. So, like, ridiculously downhill put. I mean, if it doesn't go in the hole, he held it for a two. But if it doesn't go in the hole, he's probably in the bunker.
It's mad that what do you think of that weird, like, coffin-shaped bunker at the front? Like, I know it's designed to catch everything in it, but, like, how long it is and all that, it's like,
to be honest, because I can see the concept of it, but I think it just needs to be dry, that hole. I don't think it works in the wet. They're too good from that distance. It was just a...
Well, I don't know, Fitzpatrick made a hash of it, and Tommy made a hash of it, like, it's...
Yeah.
I suppose that was long. They were both long, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. I think.
Well, I suppose that bunker being short scares people into going past. That makes them go long, and then they make a hash anyway. So it's
false front.
Yeah.
The concept's good, but I think in order to get the full amphitheater and to make it like, wow, it's, you know, there was a couple of times where a couple of players did like heavy chips and it stayed up or thinned the chip from the back, not thin, but caught it a bit skinny and it hadn't gone the full distance because of how receptive the greens were. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I wasn't a fan of 17, to be honest, even from a viewing perspective. Like, unless you were where you were or in the grandstand, you couldn't see nothing and you couldn't get round the back of it. So, yeah, I wasn't really a fan of it, but, you know, it done its job, didn't it? Caused a few people out.
Yeah, I seen Justin Rose hit the worst golf shot I've ever seen any professional golfer hit in my life.
Okay.
On the third.
Yeah.
Him, Rory and Ram on the Friday, like Roses, like just past the corner, probably at an iron up or whatever he's under there, and he full on shanked one out of bounds, like clean on like a good 60 yarder.
It is good to see that, though, isn't it?
It is, but like any other course, you just go and get your ball and play it again. But like that internal out of bounds must have messed with people's brains, isn't it? Like, I think a few people knocked two out of bounds on the holes as well. It's like they're just not used to
seeing it, are they? Friday as well. It was windy, wasn't it? Not windy on Friday.
Yeah.
And that third hole was right into the teeth.
Mm.
And you could see some of the players were like getting really caught out with that, you know.
Yeah, I just like the play for them because they get free relief from the stands. It's just knock it like up the left and like with a draw and keep it left, innit?
Yeah, that's it. I think
and then they get all relief from all the stands and that, you know what I mean?
18 in particular, it just stops them going for it in two. If you're on that left, you can't go. So you can play that safety shot and just play it as a three shotter. If you don't play the safety shot and you get aggressive with it, you give yourself a chance to go for two. But then, obviously, you're seeing Rahm and Rory on day one or day two, was it, where they both put it in the bunkers at the front and they had to chip. Rory had to chip outside to get it out and then got up and down. But they made changes, didn't they, to the bunkers, which was a point. I don't know what your opinion was on that. They elevated them slightly. I don't know if you've seen that. But for the first day, it must have been for day two, they put a bit of a ridge because what they were doing is underneath the... Can't remember what they're called, just little ridges on the face of the bunkers.
The rivets, aren't they?
The rivets, that's it, yeah. So they were making it a bit of an L shape. So if you went in, that's why a lot of balls were getting stuck right up on the edge of the river, the bottom rivet. But rivet.
Rivet? The frog.
A crazy frog. So they sort of gave them a little bit of a slope, so it came in slightly, which I thought helps, but I mean, for me, a bunker's a hazard, isn't it?
Mate, when I looked at West Lancs and I played it, a couple of days before, didn't I? The open qualifying.
Yeah.
And every bunker was just flat. Every single bit of sand was just flat.
Yeah.
So if your ball drops in, it just drops and stays.
Stays at the end.
I don't know. I think that's a bit unfair, really. Like, it's like rolling to the middle of the bunker. It's hard enough anyway, isn't it?
I suppose it is, but it's not for them.
No, I suppose, yeah.
You know, but I also don't think. Going into a bunker should be an automatic you lose a shot as well.
Well, that's basically what that is, isn't it? Like,
that's what I mean. You've got to have a balance where you've got to at least, like Rory on 18, he even went sideways and couldn't get it out. It's impossible. That's a bit too unfair.
Yeah.
So you've got to try and find the balance where, it is a hazard. So you've got to make it difficult for them because they are so good. But at the same time, don't make it impossible.
Yeah, it's like, it might as well be a pond if it's like that, isn't it? Like, you get a penalty shot, don't you?
Yeah, exactly that, yeah.
One of the interesting things from the week there, what I've seen is, Scheffler, did you see what happened to him with his distraction?
No.
So, he was over one of his putts, and like, the TV was like, up on the, like, with the leaderboard or whatever, but it flipped to like, the commentary, and like, the commentary was dead loud, and then he was standing there, and then the telly was like, live of him, and they were like, and Scheffler's eyeing up this birdie putt here. And then, like, Scheffler's like, I had to, like, look up and, like, back off. And he was like,
Adam Scott on the same
thing.
He's
like, I've never heard my own commentary getting played to me while it was there. He was like, it was crazy.
Adam Scott did the exact same. What was it? Was it Adam Scott on the exact same thing? And they were all laughing. Yeah, on the 16, wasn't it? At the side of the 16, you've got the screen with the food stalls and that. So if you go right on. It is 16. Is it? You go right on 16?
I'm not too sure. He was on the green. He was putting Scheffler. So I don't know. I think there was a few, wasn't there? A few screens. So
Adam Scott, the one where he hit it straight into the crowd where that big screen was with the food stalls and the bar. I'm pretty sure. It might have been 16 15. Comes back up, doesn't it? Before 17 comes back up the way.
Yeah, 15 goes back down and then 16 goes back up, innit?
Can't remember what hole, but he was, because that big screen with the commentary on, he was standing literally next to the screen about with the shot. I didn't see it. I just seen a couple of the lads after it had happened and they were telling me about it. And he's like, he's about with a shot and he heard him saying the exact same type of thing like Adam Scott. Now he's got 212 in. I think he's hitting a 4-iron. I think he must have had like a 5-iron. Steps away and starts laughing. And eventually it's the shot.
Yeah, Scheffler's like, it's usually loud music or something that gets you distracted. But he's like, it was pretty funny hearing, you know, naming the coverage. It was a weird moment for sure. Which is thinking, but Brian Harman taking almost cool $3 million for his troubles there.
Yeah.
Second, 1.7, third, a million, fourth, 851, and then it drops to like 648, 593. So like between, like when you look at what that triple cost Tommy, it's like, if, no wonder he had a bit of a kipper on him walking down 18.
I think so, yeah. I think, well, Rory said after he'd finished, didn't he, like in a similar vein, he's not going to really remember. If you ask him in 10 years' time about his third place finisher, his fifth place finisher at Royal Liverpool in the Open, he's not going to remember it. He said it's all about winning them tournaments.
Yeah, he's just, yeah, that's getting blocked out. But you could see even from the Saturday round, the way the putts, he just kept missing by millimeters, Tommy. Didn't he, Tommy? All weekend.
Didn't know the thing. Like, I think he had two birdies and 36 holes over the weekend or something like that.
Yeah, I think three birdie the last, didn't he, as well?
Yeah, so...
See, everyone birdie in the last when it's all said and done. Like, John Rahm, couldn't get it going, then he birdied the last. Matthew Jordan, then Tommy done it, then Victor Hovland done it. Like, they all just, like, were draining them on the last when it's, like, too little, too late.
Too little, too late.
But that just shows, like, when Tommy was... the whole world was willing his putts in. But on day... Was it really a 500 day one?
Day one, yeah.
Like, he was pouring them in from everywhere, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had like a 40-50 footer, didn't he?
Exactly. But even that dropped inside door as well, didn't it? Yeah, so if that's out a little touch, it just scrapes the edge. It's like, oh, mate.
Well, that's it. Well, you text me, didn't you? And we were talking about Tommy Khan, all the things. Nothing's going in for him. And I was saying, like, he's missing everything high. And then literally, like, he started missing everything low. And I'm like, it is lit. It's fractions.
Fractions, though.
It is fractions. But Brian Harman just didn't seem to miss anything. It was 48 out of 49 from inside 10 foot.
I thought it was 58, to be honest.
Could have been,
58 out of 59 inside 10 foot, yeah.
Could have been, yeah. I did see it online, the statistics. But
like, he on the tour, he's ranked 114th in driving distance. And just goes to show you, like, them bunkers were set up for hard, bouncy off the tee, hard bouncy conditions.
Just called that last week, didn't
at the 320 mark and all that, weren't they?
Called that last week.
You were getting nowhere near it, was they?
We called that last week. It's interesting though, because the last two times it's been won at 18 under. You could say like it's tougher conditions because it's wetter, but
it's not tougher conditions for them. They're just hitting it shorter, aren't they?
Yeah,
hitting long irons, and with Tiger only a driver once or twice, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was just rolling that two iron everywhere. It's like, if they tried to do what Tiger done, like they'd be coming in with five drivers and that.
But you know what? It was out there though, because like obviously following Alex Fitzpatrick around on the Saturday, shooting a 65. Yeah, 65. He shot six under, but John Rahm beating him by two at a 63. When they shot them scores, and I know it was lashing down, so it's a completely different game when everything's soaking wet. But like them scores were out there, nobody really.
No one grabbed it.
I don't think anyone got past 800. You know, I think Sepp Straka got to 800, and he lasted for two holes.
Yeah,
and then when he came back to 10, I was like, right, here we go. Because I think when he was at 10, John Rahm was at 7. So three
and
shots, you're like, anything can happen.
I think it went to 8-10, didn't it, as well, at one point, with Straka?
Did it go to 8-10 with Straka, yeah. So at that point, you're thinking, right, we've got ourselves a tournament here, but yeah.
I don't know how good it would have been if he went in it. Like, you know, congratulations to him, which is all due respect. But I mean, take his score out, how tight it was, what was going on. Tommy's there, then Straka's there, then Rahm's there.
Yeah.
Like, Jason Day starts chipping in from everywhere. It's like, wow.
Yeah, well, this is them chip-ins and them big long putts, and you can't really get people going and cheer on, even if they do hole a few putts, because you
need to do it again and again and again.
Yeah,
you need to
make four birdies in a row. Well, even Rory, 3 under through five, you're thinking on getting himself to 6 under, right in the mix. Like, come on, Rory, give it a charge, and he just couldn't get it going.
He fell away. I think Rich Beam was like, right, someone's got to get it. Someone's got to grab this here. Someone's got to make a move. He's like, I remember I was 5 ahead from Tiger, and he birdied the last four. To put the pressure right on me, close the gap down to one. Like, someone needs to do this. Someone needs to close this gap. Otherwise, he just sailed home, didn't he? Really?
Well, he made every time he made a mistake, he came back with a birdie.
Yeah, he rectified it, didn't he?
With hats off to him. Like, under that pressure, and you know, was he booed onto the first tee? Was it on Saturday or Sunday? And it's you can understand it. At the end of the day, it's an entertainment sport. And I know golf is respectable, but if you've got a hometown hero who's vying for the championship.
But then by the end of it, everyone was just buzzing for him, like cheering him on and that.
It's competition, isn't it? You've got to be respectful. I know some people were saying a few things that he said that like were probably out of order. You don't want to hear that. But trying to get in somebody's head while you're
I wanted to see someone run on and kidnapping me and just get him out the tournament because there was no other way, was there?
No, but you're right. That was literally heading to be probably one of the best Open Championships we could probably ever seen if Brian Harman score, just like you said, just wasn't there. But, you know, what can you say? He's outplayed everyone. He's outclassed everyone. He's deserved champion golfer of the year, and you just got to take your hat off to him, haven't you?
Well, I read this thing saying if Brian Harman can do that to the rest of the field, hitting it that far and holding putts, even then that gives me every faith that Tiger Woods can win another major.
Yeah, that was that Daniel Rappaport.
Was that Rappaport? Was it? Yes.
He's right though.
Which is boss though. Like I was like, I couldn't see who'd wrote it. I was like, whoever's wrote that, I concur.
Yeah.
Hopefully,
yeah. So we can get him back swinging it.
I know. I was looking at another stat as well. Top 10s in majors since 2015 versus the wins. So Rose has got 12 top 10s, no wins. Spieth's got 13 13 top 10s, 3 wins. DJ, 16 top 10s, 2 wins. Brooks, 17 top 10s, 5 wins. Rory, 20 top 10s, no wins.
Wow.
So his play's been unbelievable. He's going at it. And like someone asked him, like, they're talking about this fact, and he was like, well, I'm going for my 4th FedEx next week. I'm going to try and win my 5th race to Dubai. He's like, it doesn't really, I'm not really focused on that. I'm just going to keep playing and keep trying to win them.
Yeah, I think when you look back at his career, though, and how close he's been so many times, you'll think to himself, do you know what? I could have actually got to maybe 13, 14, 15
double
majors.
Digits, easy, I know. Yeah.
You're thinking that, aren't you?
Well, Tiger had an 11-year drought, didn't he, between 08 and 2019.
You've got to remember, like, it's only 4 weeks of a year, and, like, there's no guarantee that your game is going to be right at that time. You can prep all you want, but you're not going to turn up to a tournament like the Arnold Palmer and go, I'm not really going to try my hardest this week because there's a major coming up. Do you know what I mean? You're going to go out and you're going to try and win that PGA Tour event, and that's just the fact of it. And if that means that you do something different,
you waste all your birdies.
Yeah, you waste all your birdies or something happens, then that's it. Like, obviously, Rory's went out and won the Scottish Open. You know, if he wouldn't have won the Scottish Open, are we saying that, you know, potentially he could have won the Open? You just don't know. So it's, you know, but players aren't going to do that. So he's right in what he's saying. In a way, Rory, he's like, he won.
It's not like he's not trying, is it? He's having a go.
Yeah,
like,
he's having a go, yeah. And he's, Cornell, the week before, he hit probably the best 2-iron out of a divot I've ever seen anyone hit in my life.
No, no.
So his game's obviously there. He's won the Scottish Open the week before. He's finished, what, tied 6. But golf's a tough sport, isn't it? He did miss a lot of putts. You see him practicing after round 2, round 3? And
round 3, yeah. Straight to putting green.
Putting green, so. But the proof's in the pudding with the putting statistics, isn't it? You know, Brian Harman and the stats I spoke about earlier with Scottie Scheffler. Tee Green, Scottie Scheffler, there's nobody near him, really.
No.
And he just cannot knock a putt in, and he's still finishing top 10. I think this was the first tournament in, can't remember what the stat was, the way he's finished outside the top 12. I think it was like in a 2-year spin.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So, you know, it's the level of these are that, and I think that's probably the argument for, you know, rolling the ball back or changing something, because they're getting to a point now where they're that dialed in.
The only thing that they need to make the hole smaller before they do anything. Like, remember the little holes used to...
They can't hole it with the big holes.
I mean, for Harman.
Oh, for Harman,
like,
yeah.
them holes that used to, like, practice at my school where the ball just went in.
Yeah.
Imagine having to get major at one of them.
Give them all a Garcia putter.
Exactly,
is that what it was called? The Garcia putter
ball, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like Tag used to say, like, he wants to peak his game 4 times a year. It was, like, for the junior thing or the whatever amateur, and then for the 4 majors a year. And, like, he used to use other tournaments to try off different things that he could then take to the majors.
Course,
like the way we use range sessions. He used to use PGA Tour events and like pick wins.
Still
up.
Win 80.
Has he done it? Like, still win 80. On his way through.
So when he wins that 1 by 80, well, that works actually.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm actually trying something new out here, guys. Yeah, 1 by 10.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Do you know what I mean? But it's
but no, look, Boss, obviously great to get to any event, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
I was hoping we'd try and get to the women's open this year, but obviously with the baby being due in the next 3 weeks, I'm not going to be able to get there. But are you thinking about going down to Walton Heath?
Yeah, well, do you know what I'm looking on? I think Jana's got final qualifying. I was looking on saying, do you want me to jump on the bag for you again?
Finals?
Well, they go straight through to final, don't they? Because she's...
Are you going to, I mean, jump on it for finals?
Let's see if she makes it in.
If she makes it, she's not going to get you on the bag. You need to
Do you know what? I was going to speak to her this week when she gets back to see when it is and what she's doing. And
yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. If you can get on
it's
a bag.
It's at some crazy place called, like, Hickory Spoon or something, mad.
I don't know.
Yeah. I've never heard of the course, like, but obviously the Women's Open's at the Walton Heath, innit?
Yeah, but that's Saturday. I think you can get two tickets, including a concert ticket, for, I think, like, £90.
Sad, innit?
Yeah. On the Saturday. Ellie Goulding's performing, isn't she? So
no way. They were £100 each, them tickets, weren't they? Yeah. For the Men's Open.
Five, yeah. Yeah, so £7.50 a pint as well, £13 burger and chips. An expensive too.
It was.
It wasn't expensive.
Tell me
too.
About it. So do you reckon Brian Harman springboarded himself into the Ryder Cup team there? He's in the standings, like, but he's gotta be in it, ain't
he? Dunno.
No, he's in the stand. He's in it like automatic, not even a pick.
I know. And to be honest, only two tournaments left and it's the FedEx, isn't it? So there's not many tournaments left for people get themselves in. He's in, isn't he?
Scotty Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, Brian Harman, Brooks Koepka, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay. They're six.
Do you know what? Europe have got a great chance this year.
Well, that's what I was wanting to talk about, because then between... You only get six, don't you? And then they have six picks.
Yeah. I know, disrespect to, like, Wyndham Clark, major champion, you know, and Brian Harman, both won majors, got themselves in there. They're playing well, but, like...
Well, look at
they've lost a few household names too, Liv, haven't they? And,
well, yeah. Homer, nope. Young, Spieth, Bradley, Morikawa, Fowler. They're your next six on the list. But then you've got your...
Morikawa's not playing well, though, so you'd like...
No, but just you got your household names, and you've got your Justin Thomas. What does he... Can he play his way in? Like, what? Where? Or do you need to leave him out because he's shooting 82 or what? Goes on.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think... Well, you're going to see Ricky Fowler in there, probably, aren't you? He'll get a pick if he doesn't get in automatically.
I don't think he can get it automatically. He's 12th.
Ricky Fowler.
Unless he wins.
Won the other week, didn't he?
No, I mean, unless he wins a couple now or something, or does something.
I think even if he doesn't, I think Ricky Fowler, because he's a fan favourite, because he gets on so well with the lads, I think he's probably definitely going to be... It's six automatic six picks for America, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
That's the way it's always been. So,
yeah, but the lads that he usually gets on with aren't even in.
Spieth will get a pick if he's not automatic. So who's in automatically?
Automatically is Scheffler, Clark, Harman, Koepka, Schauffele, Cantlay.
So Schauffele, Cantlay. Okay. So I think Spieth, Fowler, JT. Even though JT's playing terrible at the minute, I think they'll pick him anyway, just because of his name. There's three of your picks. And then the other three.
What about, like, Finau and that?
Yeah, there's a load that could potentially get the picks and get in there. Well, Liv again, isn't it? Yeah, I don't think he's going to pick Liv.
Well, Koepka's in.
Yeah, but automatically, but I don't think he's going to pick them. I don't know.
It's Zach Johnson, though, isn't it? Like he's saying, isn't it?
Because
Zach Johnson played the practice round with Koepka, has been texting him all week. So obviously, like, Koepka's making the standings anyway because he's a PJ.
Well, I think Koepka, yeah.
So if Koepka's in, then that automatically opens the barricade, doesn't it?
If he starts doing picks, how can he not pick Patrick Reed?
And he's, I know really he's not, won, has he?
I know, but Ryder Cup, he's like Poulter for them.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
He's the one who gets in your face. He's the one who, like, people who hit it. And especially if you're going away to Rome on European soil, like, Patrick Reed's the one that will annoy the majority of fans with the way he is.
Mm.
You know, Bryson DeChambeau.
Bryson, yeah.
If you're going to pick live players as well, like you say, Tony Finau's won two, three times this year. Max Homer. Top 10 player in the world. Sam Burns. Where does he fit in? You know what I mean?
It's madness, isn't it? Like, because, like, a couple of spots have been, like, half robbed, haven't they? Like, you know, like, no disrespect,
saying,
yeah. But, like, they have, haven't they? Like, Wyndham Clark's probably not making that team.
Like, at Whistling Straits last time out, probably the strongest team I've ever seen, that American team, since I've been actively watching it and part of it. I don't remember a stronger American team, and it showed in the results, didn't it?
Million
and
percent.
To be fair, it was the passing of the tides with the
European team ours was weak as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, not playing well. A lot of players got in because of the names, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think this time round, you know, Robert McIntyre's playing really well, nearly won the Scottish Open.
Well, McIntyre's in at the minute.
Sepp Straka.
He's not in.
He's not.
Tommy Rahm and Rory are in off the world, and then Hovland, Hatton and McIntyre in off the European rankings.
Yeah, but there's 9 and 3 picks, isn't there?
On the standings as it was then, there was no there was only six in blue.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe it is 9, but only at this article that I read today, it only had 6 names in blue. But then a couple of the ones that were under were like obviously Fitzpatrick, Lowry, Yannick Paul, Straka and Mironk. They were all floating about the lists.
Yeah, Yannick Paul's played well, but he hasn't won, has he?
He's only just behind McIntyre in the standings, him.
Yeah, he's just finishing top 10 every week on the TP World Tour, isn't he?
But then do you want to send him to battle against Koepka, like, or something? It's like...
Yeah.
But then he could just fit in a nice little foursomes game, you know what I mean? It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing with the European team as well, you've got the household names, haven't you? Like we've said this in the past, there's probably 8 players who are guaranteed, even if they don't get in, they're going to get a pick. Like Mats Fitzpatrick, Shane Lowry, Hovland, Tommy.
Lowry, though, like, isn't he having the best of seasons? I'd rather have the Højgaard, me, or one of the Højgaards, or the...
Rasmus isn't playing well. If any Højgaard, it'd be Nicolai.
Nicolai, yeah.
He had a good... I think
Rasmus won that, won the Maiden Himland, didn't he?
Oh, he did, yeah, a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Home Open. So it's like, it's just
good problem to have.
It's great, isn't it? Like, just be great to, like, when it gets closer to it, to see, like, who picks it. Like, and I hope he goes with, like, a proper fresh look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not, like, try and get Poulton in and that.
Yeah, no, we won't do that. The only one that could potentially get in if there isn't any discrepancy with it all would be Sergio. He's probably the only one.
Nah, he couldn't even qualify for the Open at West Langs.
What?
He couldn't even qualify for the Open around West Langs.
But on the point saying there, it's a good problem to have for the captain, Luke Donald, isn't it? But Henrik Stenson's come out this week and claims the Ryder Cup sacking could have been avoided. So... He finished tied 13th this week at Royal Liverpool and shared his disappointments after. He says, I'm just disappointed with everything that came out because there was a big willingness on my part to sit down and talk long before this thing got to where it got to. That's my disappointment, that there were certain people, without naming names, that didn't want to sit down and take those meetings. And as a consequence, I feel like we ended up in all this that could have been avoided, but we live and we learn. So,
we do.
Yeah. It's a bitter pill to swallow for Henrik Stenson.
He's come out the worst if they're allowed back and everything's all cosy next year because he's lost his captaincy and like he lost something
to do with his foundation in Sweden as well.
Exactly. Well, do you remember when on the President's Cup and Tiger was the captain and he's like, are you speaking as a captain or a player? And Tiger's like, well, the player's got the captain's attention. Like, it's just like. That's what Stenson could have been having all that sort of crack.
Yeah, definitely. And he's a funny kid as well. And you see. He has the crack with Poulter all the time, and always having banter. So yeah, it's a shame, really, because he went on to say about, you know, it's not just him that's in this situation. It's his captain, vice captains that he would have picked. They would have experienced that, and obviously he would have picked the likes of Poulter and Westwood, probably, wouldn't he?
I'd say so. Yeah,
they're as close as pals, you'd imagine. So, but yeah, like he says, we live and we learn, and we move on.
We do.
Have you got any other golf news at all?
No, just the women are heading into, they've got 5 majors, haven't they? So they've got the Evian this week. I'd brush over that quickly. The Evian, 6,523 yards, par 71. Brooke Henderson, defending champ, 24 years old, 2 majors, looking to go back to back.
Yeah, well, Charlie Hull's probably hoping that she can go a bit one better than last time. She had that amazing final round, didn't she, in the last Open, the US Open.
Shy kids don't get sweets.
Shy kids do not get sweets, yeah, but... She seems to be playing really well, doesn't she? So
I was looking as well. Another thing talking about the women's golf, I was trying to work out, like, obviously Sorensen and that, like, probably a bit young, but like Swedish golf it took a bit of a rocket, hasn't it?
Yeah, Norman winning, Lynn Grant winning.
Lynn Grant, and then you got like David Lingmerv, so the resurgence.
Yeah, he played. And then, well, the Scottish Open, didn't he?
And like, I don't know, it's obviously Stenson just playing well as again, and it's, I don't know, it's like,
yeah,
two Swedish winners on the LPGA Tour and the PGA Tour. Like, has that ever happened, do you reckon?
Not that I can remember, no.
It's mad, isn't it?
No. I don't know what you put that down to, coincidence or...
Because they, in the water.
The thing is, they've been around for a while, a lot of them, haven't they? So it probably is more a coincidence than actually what's going on in Swedish golf. It's not like loads of youngsters.
No, like, remember all them 10-year rules and all that?
Yeah. But that was apparent with the Danish golfers, wasn't it? When they all started coming through, the Højgaard brothers came along with Hilly Kiddle, and we spoke to Andreas Carli, yeah, about it all, and he was saying, you know, with the coaching over the years, and then obviously these guys are seeing the benefits of that now. Mm-hmm. So
1,000,000%.
You could understand that with the Danish growth in the game, but with the Swedish, the players that are playing well, the players that are like have been quite established for a few years, haven't they?
No, Lynn Grant's only young, isn't she?
Yeah, Lynn Grant is, but no, she hasn't just burst onto the scene, has she? She's,
I'd say last year she did, didn't it? Like last year.
She won the DP World Tour event.
No, but I mean, she only really like last year she won the DP World Tour. She was up there. She didn't finish out the top 10, but she was on the...
Oh, do you mean last year was
last year was like a breakout season, and she's progressed to the PGA Tour now and won.
And Maya Stark as well. It's been unbelievable.
Maya Stark as well. Like, I don't know. Something to look into now.
They were 1 and 2, weren't they? Maybe, you're right, yeah. Something to look into, definitely.
So maybe they just got the 10,000 hours in and just work harder than everyone else.
More than likely.
But well done.
Well done, indeed.
Another tournament to review is the 3M Open.
Do the Birdie Boy Goose first, or...?
Forgot about that this week.
Because we went straight into the Open, didn't we?
We did.
Before we move on to the 3M Open, shall we get into the Birdie Bogey Bust?
Let's do it now. Whatever you said last week.
Oh, yeah. Let's get it on.
It's that time again, y'all. The Birdie Bogey Bust, the Birdie Bogey Bust, Birdie Bogey Bust.
Go on, then.
So, my birdie, and this is a reoccurring theme for me, this is what I've spoke about already. So, it's just attending the Open.
Yeah, man, it's going the Open as well.
The Open, yeah. I think it's just good to be about, isn't it? I think as well, you know, there was quite a lot of people there wearing a peel on, which was quite a proud moment for us.
Oh, that was boss.
Yeah, seeing a lot of people wearing the clothing and talking to us about it as well, you know, trying to understand it. There's people that, obviously, I approached a couple of people who wore it who didn't know and just introduced myself and just explained the situation. And when you're telling the story in the background, like, oh, I didn't even know that, but now I do. I like the brand even more. So,
yeah,
it's good to hear in and have them conversations with people.
Someone asked me in London, they were like, what's that brand you've got on there? Like, I was like, no, I just seen it online and loved it. Should get some with boss, like.
There's always that way as well.
And he was just like that. And then someone was like, it's this brand. Like, is that yours? Like, he was like, why'd you say that? I was like, that was just for the crack, to be honest. Right, is your birdie bogey bust in this order? Birdie going the Open, bogey Brian Harman just ruining it, and bust Tommy's putting, or what?
It bust's different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's do the bust then. So, yeah, you're right. I think it's not Harman's fault, but we could have been in for one of the best Open ever. And he's obviously ruined it for us. So, yeah, that was my bogey. Go on, you do your bust first.
My bust, so, Tommy's putting.
Yeah. Just let
him. I don't care what Phil Kenyon says, mate. That is an issue. That might not be a stroke, might have been anything. Maybe it's his reading. Yeah. You know, just that aim point, and it's.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's there to see. I think he had 36 bids. He put it over the weekend, missed them all, apart from two.
Right. Mine is divot relief.
Oh, mate.
I can't believe you've not even had this issue, but obviously Ash K.
I've
Battier.
Give up on that.
Ash K. Battier, obviously birdied this closing hole in regulation at the Barracuda this week, and then meant he went into a sudden death playoff with Patrick Rodgers. Rodgers has absolutely smoked his tee shot in the first playoff hole and gone right into a divot. And I know Battier birdied the playoff hole and won it anyway, which is fair enough. But similar to when Lee Westwood done it at the Arnold Palmer and couldn't give himself a chance to make a birdie, and Bryson went on to win the Arnold Palmer that year. It's just when it's so clutch and so important going down the stretch and you're in a chance of winning and it could be life-changing. He's 246 PGA Tour starts without a win, 31 years of age. This could have been like life. I know it's life-changing for Batty because he's only 21, but for somebody like Patrick Rodgers, who's been around for so long, this is fifth time he's had a 54-hole lead. He's done everything right. Obviously, if Batty doesn't birdie it, he gets that win. Batty not only birdies that, birdies the playoff hole and wins. But I just think he's at the back of this divot, and it does impact his shot in.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's me bust. I just think, again, it's another... And there was a lot of debate on this on Twitter that I was reading through, and people were like, how do you define a divot? What if people get a bad lie and it's not sitting right? Do they call a divot? But, you know, you've just got to have integrity.
We've already discussed the option, haven't we? Like, you just have divot zones.
But it's coming
zones up
again and again, isn't it? It's coming up again and again. Like, you know, if you're unsure, it's not going to slow play up. That's the argument, isn't it? If somebody wants to take advantage of the rules, then... But you know, if somebody's took a slug out of the grass and there's a big massive hole there and your ball's in the middle of it, you're in a divot. You know, what's the difference between that and a plug-in?
Stupid. It's embedded. Madness. It's a joke.
Yeah.
I hate it.
So that's me bust anyway. 3M Open. What have we got?
TPC Twin Cities, par 71, 7,431 yardles.
Hey, JT's got to get a move on, hasn't he?
Oh, my God.
This is the last year that they're doing the top 70 on the FedEx, and he's in trouble of losing his tour card.
He is.
70-50 is in the FedEx heading into the 3M Open. You've got this event and next week's event to get himself inside that top 20 to make the playoffs.
And he's played the past seven tour championships and obviously won it in 2017.
What's gone on?
Do you know what he's actually saying here? Like, Minnesota's obviously slightly different than here in Liverpool. He said, after shooting 82, 71, but I'm hitting a lot of good golf shots, just making so many bonehead mistakes and crazy things are happening. So there's it from the horse's mouth.
Fair enough. I know Rory come out after one of his rounds and said, look,
JT's, you know, going to be okay.
Yeah, it's like every golf will go through a dark patch and we'll have this. And he works hard enough to get himself out of it. So, yeah. I suppose, like, when you say bonehead mistakes, like, he did duff one into a bunker, didn't he, from nowhere?
Yeah,
like, you just
stupid.
Wouldn't expect and stuff. So, yeah, you're right. You can easily turn a 75 into an 82. I normally turn my 85s into a 92 by doing bonehead mistakes, to be honest.
But then he's talking about, like, Liverpool, and he's talking about, like, this week, but he's missed three of the four major championship cuts, and he was a non-factor as the champion the defending champion at the PGA Championships, even though he made the cut. Like, last year's PGA was his last win, and he's only had three.
But on that point, though, so
he's only had three top tens this season after never having fewer than seven in a season.
But on that point, though, of the PGA Championships, remember that final round? He actually shanked a shot, didn't he, on that par three?
When he won. Yeah.
And it was only for the fact that he had an unbelievable final round that he won that, because he was eight back or something, seven back going into it. And, you know, Mito Pereira and the like done what they done to obviously messed that up. It was Mito's to lose, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Matt Fitzpatrick had a chance to win. He
knocked
was
it in the drink, didn't he?
Matt Fitzpatrick done the same, knocked it in the water on a couple of the holes. And, you know, if I don't know when would have his last win been if he didn't win the PGA Champs? How far back are we going? Are we looking at
players in it? What is one something else in between there?
Not sure. I'm not sure. I'll have to fact check it. But yeah, you know. It's interesting how, like, their close group is Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, JT. They're like the...
And they just swap being the
worst.
They
just swap being the worst.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, we were talking about Ricky losing it, then we were talking about Spieth losing it, now we're talking about JT losing it.
Yeah.
Like, but then they've all been, like, top 10 players in the world. Justin Thomas being number one. So yeah. Spieth, any? Spieth ever been number one?
Yeah.
Mad, isn't it?
It is.
There's a few players, like, sitting right on the mark as well. The obviously KH Lee 70th,
yeah.
Sam Ryder 69, Ben Griffiths 68, and then Ling May of 71, David Thomas, Shane Lowry 73, Lee Hodges, Justin Thomas, Justin Sue, Cam Davies, all up to 77 there. Like,
Shane Lowry's a big one, isn't it? If he's 73rd, if he can get into the playoffs and get a push into the playoff positions, then that could secure us.
World ranking.
Yeah, it is Ryder Cup.
To get him in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, because then he gets an extra couple of tournaments to play before the Ryder Cup to push himself into the automatics.
Unless he comes back and plays DP, innit?
Yeah.
But then, so if Justin Thomas doesn't finish in this top 70, then he has to play the fall season to get his card.
No, JT's got exemptions because of the PGA, Annie.
And for the PGA Tour?
Yeah. Even the Players' Championships are 5 years and all that.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Because on that article, obviously Justin Thomas's name was on it, and then the next little line, it said, players do not qualify for the playoffs or compete in the FedEx 4 for the tour cards for the following season.
They do, yeah. That's something we spoke about, wasn't it? So the top 1, 2, 5 get the card, and what they've done to make it fairer from 71 to, I think, 200. So if you're from 71 to 200, that 129 players will then compete every week. They'll keep the same points, but they'll compete every week from after the FedEx finals right up to the end of the season, like beginning of December or whenever it is.
Yeah.
And then the top 1, 2, 5 will get the card. So anybody who's like, so these next 2 weeks are important for anybody who's sitting in like 205, 206. Right, to try and jump in to get into that. A lot to play for. I've not actually looked to see who's that far down the leaderboard, but it's
no.
But yeah, it's a good concept, but again, I don't know how that's going to impact it next year when we go to the two-tiered system and what the live thing is. So it's all right saying that this is the way that the PGA Tour wants to go.
I know you talk 5-year exemption, but if they change the whole structure of the PGA Tour, then it's like, if there's some of them go to live, and then it's all just up in the air. It's all mental, isn't it?
Well, this is
Thomas could be getting swooped with a little,
maybe
couple hundred million.
Maybe team captains might say, I don't want him. He's not good enough for our team,
isn't it?
But yeah, now we're looking forward to. Do you reckon he'll win this one? Then I just
do you know who I think he's going to win.
Go on.
Sam Bennett.
What a player! He's got another invite. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just seeing his name, and he's made like 6 out of 7 cuts as a professional, and just
he's quality, isn't he?
Obviously,
I just think
he's
his
amazing,
whole persona is good. Me, I think his whole attitude to everything.
He just believed he could win the Masters, didn't he? So like, why can't he believe he wins this?
Yeah.
Who do you think?
I think Tony Finau, me. Back to back. Yeah. I do. He's won three times this year.
I think he's won 2 or 3. Yeah. Like, but how's he? Like, he's got to make the Ryder Cup team, as well. Like, surely million. To God, do you know what I mean?
1,000,000%. Yeah, he will.
It's hard work.
He will. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting Ryder Cup, an interesting week this week. We've obviously
got the DP World Tour this week. What? Well, no DP World Tour for 2 weeks.
Is Irish Open the next one?
No, the ISP Handa, 17th of August.
Oh, is it? Okay, when's the Irish Open?
Unsure on that.
Got to be soon, isn't it?
It's usually as you're saying, it's usually around when there's obviously the Scottish and the...
Yeah, it's that. You're right, there's definitely no tournament this week, but there is... Imagine 7th of September, the Irish Open. They pushed that right back. The Irish Open's before the BMW Champs. Well, that's good. Okay, so you've got two national.
Yeah, said the ISP Handy. I thought it was.
The Dunhill Links is the 58th of October. We should get to that. We'll take the motor home, Dan.
Let's go.
The baby will be a good 8 to 10 weeks there.
Perfect. You've done your duties by then.
Yeah, should be walking by then, shouldn't he?
Maybe able to come. He might be playing in it.
See, yeah, the Ryder Cup is the 29th. So Ryder Cup's at the end of September. Okay, so yeah, let's go to Dunhill Links. 58th of October. I thought that was September. I thought I wouldn't be able to go to that. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right then. Well, on that note, we'll see you all soon.
Ciao.
Oh, boy, is he out of sync.